You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to move to number three on the triple dipper here in just a minute, but I see that I got a caller who held on during the break. It may not be a topic that we've been talking about, but we did talk about it yesterday, so why not? Let's go ahead and go to line two. Mike from Huntsville. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good, Phil. How are you?
Good. What can I do for you?
Yeah, not that it's a station that I listen to all the time, but on Saturday afternoon on VNN, there's a program called the Valley Labor Report.
Yeah.
I just listen to it to see what kind of stupid stuff they talk about. And they spend a whole section talking about you Saturday afternoon.
I thought that was pretty funny. Somebody texted me that and said that, and I thought, they're talking about me. So, and it, apparently it wasn't very flattering either from what I understand. Is that right?
It was not. They said you were a tool for the Koch brothers.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. Yep. Was I standing up for conservative principles, too? Was that happening?
Yeah. They said something about your dad used to be a coal miner and that the apple must fall far, far away from the tree because you can't relate to the common man.
I'm pretty sure I relate to more common men than they do, but that's why they have a show that a few people listen to on Saturdays, and we've got one 5 days a week, but which sounded very pompous. I didn't mean to sound that way, but nonetheless, yeah, Mike, I'm aware of those guys. I mean, I just became aware of them because somebody texted me and said they're on. I said, "Who's on?" And they said they're talking about you, and it was apparently all they're big labor union guys. They trolled me on Twitter one day, and apparently that just made me a target right here on the same station. Go figure. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Well, you know, I'll take it all day long. I'm pretty sure those knuckleheads just helped my show. What do you think?
Definitely in my eyes, they did.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, Mike, thanks very much. You have a great day. Yeah, that guy, I don't even remember his name. I was like, I was tweeting about something totally unrelated, Copper, and this guy out of the blue just jumps on the Twitter thread and goes like goes from 0 to 60. And it wasn't even on the topic. It was like, let me grab somebody else's conversation and just interrupt here and say, by the way, your show should be doing something about what's happening with labor unions and things here in Alabama. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I got a caller once who said something like that.
Yeah. Well, so apparently these guys have a show on Saturdays here on WVNN. Go figure. But that's what they do. They sit there and they spout the union line apparently for a couple hours on Saturdays. And, I'm pretty sure it's not a well-followed show, but enough people heard it that I got a few text messages, and I was like, cool, this is doing nothing but helping me. Yeah, I get it. I see that, Copper. You're right. All right, Copper's writing up, you know, things on the board that I won't repeat on the air, but you're right, Copper. You're right. You're right. Okay, let's move on. Yes, LOL. Let's move on right now. So we're actually working through the triple dipper today. And by the way, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866, love to hear from you. Lots of news out there. And let me just tell you, by the way, one of your best news sources, if you haven't figured it out yet, hear me say it, 1819news.com. So when I'm resourcing the show, you hear me rattle paper in the microphone. It's kind of gotten to be my shtick. That's because every single day I've got an average of about 40 pages of different stories that I have taken the time to go and research according to the three topics that we're going to use for the Triple Dipper. And so I've got a stack of resources. I don't even always get through all of them. But when I'm going out there, you know, I've got some that are go-tos. I can go to the Bongino Report. I can find an aggregate of different news stories. I can go to Fox. I can go to National Review. One of the sources that I go, and I go to liberal sources too. I go to CNN. I go to AL.com. I do those. I have to. Politico. But nonetheless, one of the ones that has become a go-to site for me is 1819news.com. And I hope y'all will direct some of your attention to it. That's 1819news.com. It's named for the year that Alabama became a state. These are a bunch of folks, and I know them all personally, by the way. They're great folks. But these are all folks who literally are committed to the idea that news should get back to news, that we should be allowed to see a news story and know that they're going to call balls and strikes. So, yes, there are a bunch of conservatives running a great news site. But because of that, they believe in a good free press. So they will get out there and they'll report things, good, bad, and ugly. And they'll show you what's out there. Do they have opinion writers? Yeah, Copper and I both write for 1819. But they're labeled as opinions. Their news is their news. And one of the things I love is not only do they call balls and strikes on the news, but they also tell you stories that are designed to make you proud of living in Alabama. You're going to get the good news stuff. It's not going to be like reading AL.com where you wonder why the people that work there even live here. And some of them don't, by the way. You're going to get stories that make you proud to be an Alabamian, as well as the news stories that you need to keep track of your times. 1819news.com. Check them out. It's 1819news.com. All right, listen. Going to number three on the Triple Dipper. You want to call in and talk? Let's do it. 866-494-9866. But here's the deal. I'm going to number three. It's called Big Bad Budgets. Big Bad Budgets. So if you haven't seen it, President Biden just came out with a $5.8 trillion budget plan, which raises taxes, allegedly trims some deficits, which basically means he's not really truly trimming the deficit. He's creating less deficit than he did last year. Therefore, it's a trimming. Okay. Wow. That's another gaslight. But how did he do on budgeting last year? Let's talk about that first. So a friend of mine just sent me this from FreedomWorks. It's a great outline of conservative positions reviewed as opposed to last year's budget. So did last year's budget, which was somewhere in the neighborhood of $5.1 trillion, something like, anyway, did President Biden's last budget, the one that we're currently operating, did it cut federal spending? No, it did not. President Biden's first budget proposed to increase federal spending by $5 trillion over 10 years. Keep in mind, when they put a budget in, it's not just a one-year thing. Sometimes they're initiating expenses that they're locked into perpetually. And they're committing our government expenditures for future administrations. Sometimes, like for instance, Trump inherited Biden stuff that he had no choice but to see out because it was already in the law. Anyway, $5 trillion over 10 years in increased spending. Did he hold the line on taxes? No. Biden's FY22 budget called for raising taxes. $3.6 trillion in new taxes, apparently, according to the relative baseline. Did it deliver robust economic growth? No. The Biden administration's economic assumptions indicated that adopting the president's policies would have produced no better than a tepid growth, and we've seen that out. Did it reduce the federal budget deficit? No. The 10-year cumulative deficit would increase a $1.4 trillion under Biden's last budget. Did it put the federal government on the road to a balanced budget? No, not even close. Did it trim the hundreds of billions of dollars the federal government spends annually on federal interest payments? No, it did not. Did it in any way, did the 2022 Biden budget, the one that we're currently in, did it in any way prioritize resources for national defense? Aha! It's the first time they've not said no. It says debatable. It says while the budget did increase non-defense discretionary spending by $616 billion over 10 years relative to the baseline, that defense discretionary spending was slated to fall by $169 billion overall. Huh. Okay, did it rein in America's out-of-control entitlement spending? No, absolutely not. It had an increase of 10.5%. Did it save Social Security from insolvency? No, Social Security is still projected to become insolvent in the year 2033. Good Lord. It just goes on from there. So that's the budget that we're currently operating on now. What are we seeing in the big bad budget that came out as proposed yesterday? Keep in mind, here's where we are. The executive branch can propose a budget. It can tell the world, the legislative world, what it wants to spend. The legislature has the power of the purse. I mean, we used to see in Alabama, by the way, if you're not familiar, Alabama, for all its warts and blemishes, for all the things that, you know, we may fuss about as conservatives, there are certain aspects of Alabama's fiscal policy that are pretty jacked up, like the fact that we're, you know, overly earmarked and all of that. However, one of the things that does go in our favor is that Alabama has a balanced budget requirement, and that's a good thing. So if you've got a balanced budget requirement, then unless you spend too much and you miscalculate, you're going to be okay. You're going to have a budget in place that is so-called balanced. We don't have that in the federal government. And so right now what we're looking at is truthfully a raising taxes on the rich, a trimming deficits, a $5.8 trillion budget proposal by the feds. We'll see what the Congress has to say about it. I got a story from Newsmax that I'm going to read to you next when we get back. Let's go ahead and take a break, Copper. We get back, we're on number two in the Triple Dipper. Big bad budgets. It's your money, folks. And they're spending it like it's theirs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, have I told you about ZLA Solutions? Of course I have. I talk about them all the time. ZLA Solutions, man, these folks have been with us since the show started 9 months ago. They're one of our original team members, and they just had the biggest year they've ever had, and they're right now having another banner year. I mean, this quarter already has been a kicker for them. So literally, ZLA Solutions is one of the best around at putting people back to work. ZLA Solutions, their website is ZLAUSA.com. If you are an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, listen, ZLA Solutions, that's who you want to go to. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. They can do it blue collar, white collar, no collar. It does not matter. They can do direct hires. They can do temp staffing. On top of that, they can also help you with your logistical solutions. They can help you with things like sorting, containment, quality control. I mean, literally. They like to say at ZLA Solutions, we don't make it, we just make it better. And they do. Their goal is to make your business better. Check them out at ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, so folks, I'm in number three on the triple dipper for the day. I'm calling it the big bad budgets. Can you imagine getting taxed on money you don't even have yet? They call that an unrealized gain. Pray tell, Phil, whatever do you mean? Well, I mean, let's say, for instance, you bought a stock, and maybe that one share of stock is worth, I don't know, $45. And you chose wisely, and over a period of time, the price of that stock goes up to $55. It's gone up $10. You have what the law or the market would call an unrealized gain of $10. Unrealized because you've never cashed it in. It's not money in your pocket until you trade that stock, right? Okay. Well, what if you got taxed on that? What? Yes. What if the federal government said, we see potential money in your pocket and we want a part of it. And you can look at them and go, I don't have that potential money until I'm allowed to spend it. It's not really my money. I mean, the market could tank overnight. It's not mine until it's mine. When I cash out, then it's there. No. We see that as an unrealized gain. Well, if it's unrealized, why do you want a piece of it? Well, because we have an unrealized tax at this point. We have the ability to gain income for feeding the beast of government. Pray tell. Well, that's where we are right now. Biden's here's a story off of Newsmax, dated yesterday. Biden's $5.8 trillion budget raised taxes on the rich, trimmed the deficits allegedly, and boost police funding. So President Joe Biden did indeed release his budget blueprint, his proposal, if you will, that calls for higher taxes on the wealthy, trying to lower federal deficits, does provide more money for police and more funding for education, public health, and public housing. What it really looks like, they say in this particular article, it's an attempt to tell voters what a diverse and sometimes fractured Democratic Party stands for right at the midterms. Yeah, there you go. So Biden's proposing a total of $5.8 trillion in federal spending in fiscal year 2023, which begins in October. Now, that's slightly less than what was projected to be spent this year before the supplemental spending bill. All right, there's that. But it seeks to raise taxes. Go figure, Democrats, taxes. Of course, we've seen our Alabama Republicans raising taxes, too. There's that. But there's things in there to spend $795 billion for defense, $915 billion for domestic programs, a balance of the rest going to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the interest on the national debt. But the higher taxes outlined yesterday are going to raise another $361 billion in revenue over 10 years. The proposal includes a minimum 20% tax on incomes of houses worth $100 million or more. All right. They're going to say, we're going to make the rich pay their fair share. What is a fair share? Who decides what's fair? I don't have $100 million. Lord, if I did, we'd have, you know, right side media dominating the world. But nonetheless, they've got this plan right now to do things like put into place a 28% corporate tax rate, which I think is at 22 right now under the Trump cuts, if I'm not mistaken, a top individual rate of 39.6%. This is not good. 1819 News reports as of today that Senator Shelby has slammed the Biden budget proposal, saying it puts us on the wrong foot to start the fiscal year. So as the outgoing vice chairman of Senate Appropriations, Senator Shelby rejects Biden's claim that anything about this would bolster defense spending. He says it's one of the largest investments in our national security, according to Biden. But we're looking at what Shelby says. He said, literally, his budget last year was roundly rejected in Congress, and the president has again proposed a fiscal blueprint that overspends on wasteful domestic programs and fails to adequately provide for our nation's defense. In other words, more of the same. Yeah, there's that. All right, listen, these tax hikes, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. They're built in. We're staying with this topic, big bad budgets. If you want to call in and talk about this, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the fiscal spending spree that we're seeing coming out of the Biden administration right now. It's all about Build Back Better. It's all about, you know, green energy deals. It's all about how much can we throw into stimulus spending. Democrats are even talking about whether they ought to send you a debit card because you've had to pay more at the pump because of the problems they caused. Meanwhile, bacon is 17% more this year than it was last year. I'm just telling you, folks, this is a recipe for disaster. Big bad budgets, number three on the Triple Dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, you hear me talk about Just Love Coffee Cafe all the time. Love that place. And Travis, who runs both locations, just texted me to let me know that, you know, I've told you how Just Love Coffee Cafe, aside from the great, you know, coffees and the menu they've got there and the environment, is that they're really committed to giving back to the community. And they're so good at it. I mean, and so this past weekend, they had an event for Ainsley's Angels, an organization that helps disabled and challenged individuals have the opportunity to compete in a race by having a special cart pushed by a runner that takes them on the race, things they would never experience otherwise. Well, they raised over $1,000 this last Saturday because folks like you went to one of the Just Love Coffee cafes just because they wanted, you know, to take part in the events that were going on to raise money and awareness for Ainsley's Angels, a local ministry opportunity. So thank you to all of you who went out to Just Love Coffee Cafe this past weekend. Keep them in mind. They got two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. They got a great menu. They got all the best coffees. They got a great environment. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Well, I got several callers. If you want to call in, we got time, 866-494-9866. I think my first one is line three, Chance from Gurley. Hey, Chance, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing? Do I have Chance? Copper?
You should. I'll double check.
Thank you. That would be good because it says that I've got him on the board here. Let's go ahead, Copper. I tell you what, let's go ahead and go to line five. Let's do line five, Kareem from Huntsville. Hey, Kareem, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
Something. Yeah, why is it so hard for America to take care of Americans? When we've had $7 trillion dumped in this economy, it shouldn't be anybody hurting for anything. Hmm. You have no problem with spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on defense. Of course we need it, but we do this every year. You know, if the guns don't get shot, I still believe the bullets is good. The guns are still good, so we can reuse them. Why does it have to take a terrorist attack or something like that for people to actually spend money on American citizens? Everything you said, like it was something bad. It's not. If you want to give people money to release gas, the money because of the high, you know, high cost of gas, why is that a problem? When it's not a problem to give a billionaire billions more dollars, somebody who owns a $100 million house can afford a 20% tax.
Yeah, so here's the thing on that, though, Kareem. I mean, hang on, Kareem. So here's the thing on that is it's one thing to say benevolence. It's, you know, it's another thing to say we're going to take from you to give to them. And that's I think it's where we may have a difference of opinion there. Is the reality is it's one thing for someone to say, I support that ministry, I support that charity, I want to help my neighbor. But at some point, we've gotten such an entitlement mentality going in this state that the only people who get any help, I mean, the only ones who people think can help are the government. And we've got to get back to the day that the private sector supports their neighbor, and we don't have to always sit around and go, oh, don't worry about it, the government will take care of it with somebody else's tax dollars.
Everything you preach is totally against that. Everything you just said,
no, it's not.
Yeah, you're not trying to help your neighbor. You're trying to help millionaires and billionaires.
Didn't you just hear me talk a minute ago, Kareem, about Ainsley's Angels, the ministry that listeners from this show went to one of our locations, our sponsor locations, to raise $1,000 support for? Or the fact that I had a guy on my show, were you listening yesterday when I had a guy on my show, Chris May, who's got a ministry called Mercy's Hope that I used to sit on the board that's doing amazing work sending supplies and relief to Ukraine right now? I mean, it's the private sector is still fully engaged, but right now government can't be the end all to everything, man. It can't.
The only thing we worry about, you know, that trickle down economics does not work ever since Reagan.
Oh no, I think it's the opposite. I think trickle down economics does work. You just don't want to believe it.
It doesn't work.
It does work.
Trickle down economics does not work.
Who? I don't know where you work, and you don't have to tell me. But who created the job you have?
Listen, I created my own job.
Okay, well, that's cool. Then you're a private sector guy. Do you employ other people?
Yeah, so we actually need the money. It's like if you don't have $1 billion or $1 million to start with, y'all not going to advocate for guys like me.
Yeah, but yes, we are. What are you talking about? Listen, man, every single day we're talking about the free market. What is the free market? The free market is the private sector. Government should not be picking winners and losers and deciding who gets to play.
At the same time, you're not sending the free market money. $7 trillion.
No, no. The free market is not all about you take somebody else's money and give it to him. The free market is about taking risk, about building the better mousetrap, about going to the bank and borrowing money if you have to, about assuming the risk of your option and not having the fallback of government buying you out or bailing you out. That's what it's about, man.
I understand all of that, but it all depends on where you at in life, exactly on what you need.
Well, let me ask you something, though. Kareem, you're self-employed, I think you said. So do you have people that work for you?
What was that?
I said, you said you're self-employed. Do you have people that work for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, that's trickle-down economics. You started a job, and they get the benefit of the fact that you chose to step out on faith and start a business. And so it trickled down to them. They now have a job because you're willing to get in the private sector and take risk. That's trickle-down economics. That is basic level.
Well, it's ridiculous when I hear y'all keep saying, somebody with a $100 million home can't afford a 20% tax. That's ridiculous. When Bush gave those tax cuts, most of those people took those money and put it underneath their mattresses. They were supposed to use it to expand the private sector, to hire people to expand their
businesses. How do you feel about the tax on unrealized gains?
Is that money that hasn't been made yet?
Yeah, the money that hadn't been made, but right now Biden has proposed a tax on unrealized gains, meaning if you've invested in the market and your portfolio has grown 20%, but you've never cashed it in, you haven't even touched it, you don't know if you're ever going to touch it, should you be taxed on what you haven't touched or have the benefit of?
I believe that's wrong. Like you said, I don't want to take anything from anybody, but when it's coming from the government and you got $7 trillion pumped into this economy supposed to be to help Americans, and people have a problem, and for some reason, we still got people out here homeless. We still got people out here hungry. Somebody is doing something with the money they ain't supposed to do.
Well, I think you and I are actually agreeing on some of this, because, yes, I do agree. I think money flooded the market, And a lot of it got used and abused, and we do know that organized crime was filling out fake reports and getting all kinds of funds they never should have gotten. It was a spending spree. Part of that is caused the inflation, because when people had more money in their pockets, but the supply chain was jacked up, you had demand not equaling supply, and suddenly you have inflation. So those policies of throwing money at it aren't always good.
All I feel is this, man. Without the people, we have no country. The people actually makes up the country. So without the people, we have no country. We have nothing to defend.
I agree with that. I do. Yeah. I agree with that. All right, brother. Hey, I got another caller who hung on the whole time, so let me just thank Lee from Huntsville for hanging on line, too. And Lee, I hope you're still there. Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind?
I am still here. What Kareem is not taking into consideration is those billionaires can leave. And so can their money. They're not beholden to a country. They can, you know, they can invest worldwide. They can move. They can go to their own private islands. And they do.
That's a great point.
You should realize that you cannot legislate profit by taking it from the people and the companies that drive business. You just can't. It won't work. But
that's a great point.
Another thing. But my comment on this is that we have what is essentially a fiat currency at this point. It's not backed by commodities or gold or silver, right?
Right.
And we could just print and print and print because the government says this is legal tender, so you can print it. And the most basic, of course, this is too basic, but it's too much money chasing too few goods. That's inflation, right?
Right.
And that's what we have right now. We have too much money flooding the marketplace, and we don't have enough goods. And so that causes the cost of everything to rise. And what I think he was missing is that's where the biggest problem is, because we did too much money printing, and we sent out too much money into the marketplace. We shouldn't have done that much money printing and that much giveaways. One would have been fine. Three or four, too much. And now they're talking about even more. Does he think that $300 is going to help when it costs $500 to buy what $300 would have bought 2 months ago? I mean, he's just got to think about that.
Great points, Lee. I mean, I think I need you to come on and do an hour of economics for this show. I mean, that's
well, I'll be happy to, but I'm not an economics major.
Well, but you're an economist. I can tell that already. Lee, great points. And one of the points you made earlier, which may have been not why you called originally, was the fact that, yes, billionaires, if you tax them into oblivion or try to, they will just pack up and take their money offshore and be gone. And they will not be aiding our economy or playing in our markets anymore. And that's
Elon Musk will move.
That's exactly right. And by the way, Elon Musk, if I'm not mistaken, he's a naturalized citizen. So
yes,
he already came here from somewhere else in the first. I can't recall. I need to look that back up and see. But I mean,
think South Africa.
He's got roots elsewhere that he could go and reengage if he wanted to, or for that matter, you're like you said, he could buy his own private island and be fine. The rest of us,
like
meantime, we don't have. Yeah, exactly. Lee, thanks for the call. We appreciate that very much. Those great calls. I tell you what. Oh, so Copper, you said what? He's from South Africa?
Oh, I looked it up. Yes, Elon Musk was from South Africa.
Did he grow up here, or did he move here like in late in life?
I think he grew up more in South Africa.
Okay. Well, that explains. I mean, the name Elon Musk does not sound like, you know, a typical American bred name. So I figured he had to be from somewhere else. But yep, okay, good. Got it. All right, Copper, move us to the last break of the day. How about that? Let's do that. We'll come back. You want to call in? I can take another one. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're wrapping up a discussion about big, bad budgets. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are into the afternoon drive. Some of y'all are already on the roads. Be careful out there. Get home safely. Hey, by the way, I want to make sure that I point out today is National Vietnam Veterans Day. My father and my grandfather both served, three tours between the two of them, and both highly decorated. And I don't want you to know that I appreciate you. And to all of you Vietnam veterans, welcome home, and thank you for your service. That being said, let me just go ahead and mention something else regarding veterans. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning is one of our sponsors. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning is a locally owned, veteran-owned business. James, who runs the business, is a veteran of Afghanistan himself, like me, and I appreciate that. And Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, I always call them like your one-stop shop for all things HVAC, whether it be servicing, repairs, installations, gas or electric system, does not matter. They serve Madison, Huntsville, all the surrounding areas, and they will work 6 days a week. By the way, if you have something go wrong on a Friday night, you can get them out on a Saturday, y'all. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. They are good at what they do, and they've got a special right now, getting you ready for the hot weather months. If you want to service your systems, they'll come out $69 per unit, and if anything happens to it in the year following, they'll come out and do repairs for 10% less. You can find them, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, at 256-225-7311. That's Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, 256-225-7311. Tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I got two callers on the line, Copper. Highlight for me which one's first and the order they called in so I can catch them real quick. It looks like, yeah, line five. Line five, Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. One quick thing about the gentleman you handled very well a while ago. What I like to talk to people about is, say you have a business and you go in and you market, do all these things for this job, but then they said, yeah, appreciate you spending all those expenses, but we're going to give this job to this other guy that didn't do anything to get it. When you put it in terms like that, then they go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. The second thing is I'm concerned about all these people flooding over the border, and in a stressed economy that we have, those that are retiring or near retirement, there's not going to be money available for them that they've put in all these years. It's just going to suck that well dry, and it's already broke. So I don't think we need to give them more power over it.
Well, and great points all the way around, Mike, and you're right. Latest reports are that Social Security, that many of us have paid into for years and years, faces potential insolvency by the year 2033, which ain't far away, 11 years. So you're right. And then when you have illegal aliens flooding in and tapping into all the entitlements that we have to offer in our system, it creates a whole new dynamic. Hey, I got one more caller I got to grab, Mike. Thanks for your day. You have a good day, man. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff. Phil Williams. How you doing today, bud?
Doing great, Phil. Hey,
what's on your mind?
One thing that nobody's really talking about and addressing, Donald Trump lowered the taxes and invited all these businesses back to the United States, and they came. But now with hyperinflation, our exports are going to be so high and everything, they're going to move back out because they can't afford to manufacture in the United States anymore.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen that happen before. I mean, it goes through cycles sometimes, but you're right. They'll move offshore if they can. If they can save a dime, they will. Because and some will say, oh, it's not American pride to move it offshore like that. Well, they're not in the business of – they're in the business of making money. That's what they're for.
Exactly. Yeah,
great point, Jeff. All right, man. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. You take care on the roads. I got one more caller, and I got about a minute to do it. So let me grab line three, Dustin from Huntsville. Hey, Dustin, Phil Williams, I got about a minute, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, I'll make it quick. I just had I'd like to ask Kareem. I'm sure he was a Obama supporter, and he probably supports unions and what they do. So my question for his thought process is, in the bailouts of 08 to 2010, what did GM do with their money, as well as a lot of the other automotive companies that support so many unions, considering that's how all their labor comes from? If I remember right, they gave all their executives and their investors big bonuses. They threw multi-million-dollar lavish parties, and the everyday worker that he is talking about they didn't get a dime of it.
Yeah, I mean,
and they didn't reinvest it into the company.
They had issues there that the whole thing about too big to fail. They had businesses that were deemed too big to fail.
They should have let them flop and go bankrupt and restructure. And the American taxpayer didn't get anything out of that bailout except for them to continue the status quo once they resumed operations.
Dustin, good call, man. I'm not even going to try to add to it. Thanks for your time. All right, folks, listen, we are down to it. And I'm going to go ahead and say again today, it's been a banner day for the Williams family, because if you didn't hear me say it earlier, sweet little Emery Grace, our granddaughter, was born today right around midday. 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 20 inches. Mom and baby are doing great. So big day for the Williamses. And I'm going to tell you right now, Charlene is beside herself. So we're going to be loving on a grandbaby here sometime very soon. But right now, I just wanted to share that with the audience. You guys have an amazing night. Coming up next, you got Mark Levin, the great one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will remain solid, conservative, and just plain right. Y'all have a great night.